إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه وبعد. My brothers and sisters, there are two books that I have read in recent times and which I think I've recommended them to many people. One is called Outliers, which is by Malcolm Gladwell, and the other one is called Talent is Overrated by Jeff Corbin. Now, there are two principles in these books that I want to mention. Malcolm Gladwell is a statistician, and by a process of statistical analysis, he talks about this issue of what does it take to become expert in any field. And he has applied this principle to practically any field, you know, whether you are playing golf or whether you are a cardiac surgeon or whatever the case might be. So he says, what does it take to become an expert? And he sets the standard of expertise at a very high level. So it's not just that, you know, you know to do something well. No, we're not talking about well. Well is not expert. Expert is somebody who's 100% sure of getting the, of getting the goal every time he shoots for it. There's a very nice little video somebody sent me yesterday, which I will also send with this for the reminder. So he says, Malcolm Gladwell says that it takes 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours before you can be expert. And he has a very interesting analysis. He has analyzed the level of expertise at 6,000 hours, at 8,000 hours, and at 10,000 hours. There's a huge difference. Massive difference between the expertise at 6,000 hours, 8,000 hours, and 10,000 hours. So the 10,000 hours is like a golden rule. If you don't hit it, you will not become expert, no matter what that is, right? Jeff Corbin, on the other hand, in this book called Talent is Overrated, he talks about this whole issue of talent itself. And this is a common experience of ours also. If we just reflect back in our lives at people who were, say, in school with us or something, and they were known to be very highly talented, or, you know, as a schoolboy or schoolgirl, you thought this person is fantastic in this particular area, highly talented and so on. But later on in life, now when you look back and you say, well, where is this person? You know, if somebody was, say, for example, in school, they did well in a school play, you know, they did acted well and so on. You say, okay, this guy is headed for Hollywood or whatever the case might be, you know. But you find that they are nowhere there. Right? You find somebody was very good in cricket, and you say, well, we are looking at the future captain of the national cricket team. You find that they fell by the wayside somewhere. Now, in Talent is Overrated, what he talks about is, he says that, yes, true, there is, some people have a talent for one thing or the other. But he says, what makes a difference is not whether you had this talent or how much talent you had. He said, what makes a difference is what he calls, very interesting term, he calls it thoughtful practice. Not just practice, thoughtful practice. Because like the other day I said, mentioned this in Juma also, we all hear this term, practice makes perfect. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. That's the reason why it is very difficult to retrain. You know, there's a quote there's a proverb in English, you can never teach an old dog new tricks. And that's nothing to do with age. It is to do with the fact that you are set in a particular way. So if you are in my field of training, I would much rather train people who know nothing rather than retrain those who know something in a particular area. Because those who know something, they get so set in their wrong ways that to change that becomes very difficult. Right. Similarly, for those of you, I keep saying this all the time, that there is only one right way of reciting Quran, which is according to the tajweed of Quran. And we have held classes here in this masjid also several times. You know, some people come, they don't come, and so on. But my point is that many of you at an older age, and you know, more, I won't say advanced age, because you're not talking about somebody there close to retirement. Even people who are sort of older, you know, in their say 30s or 40s or 50s, for them to learn tajweed is much more difficult. And the reason for that is not because they don't like, not because they lack intelligence. It's because the tongue is used to pronouncing things in a certain way. Especially those of us who know Urdu. We think that it's a big advantage to know Urdu because of so many common words between Urdu and Arabic. And this is true also. But one big disadvantage of knowing Urdu is that because of the common words and the common letters, our tongue is got used to pronouncing certain things in a certain way. And in Arabic, it is pronounced differently. For example, the sound za, that z, in Arabic, there are four distinct different pronunciations for the za. So, whether you are saying allazina or zalin, both of these, I mispronounced them deliberately. Both of these is how it is pronounced. Whereas the actual pronunciation is allazina and dalin, right? I mean, how many times have you heard somebody reciting Quran and saying ghayril maghzubi alayhim wala dalin? Completely wrong pronunciation. Now, the reason for that is because the tongue is used to that. So, even though the person wants to say it correctly, the automatic thing, the wrong pronunciation comes out, because now he is not speaking Urdu, he is speaking in Arabic. In Urdu, it would be fine. You know, in Urdu, there's no problem because that's the pronunciation. But in Arabic, it's a different language. The reason I'm saying all of this is that keeping these two things, one is the 10,000 hours and the second one is thoughtful practice. I just did a rough calculation, not a rough calculation, an accurate calculation, but a very, you know, ready calculation, which is that if we take the number of all of us sitting here, except perhaps yourself, is we are past 50, right? I won't say how many years past 50, but we passed. So, and we started, say, let us say, for example, we started praying at the age of 10. So, those of us who are 60 plus, this applies very clearly, but you can do the rest of the sums. I did a rough calculation. I mean, I did this correct calculation. I took half an hour a day as the time spent in the five salawat. I'm being very short. You know, maybe you spend more time, alhamdulillah, all power to you. But I'm saying just only the first salah. Like I also checked the time today. We took 10 minutes for Salatul Fajr today. And I did not recite long surahs. So, despite that, and so we took 10 minutes. Now, my point is, supposing you take 5 minutes per salah, average. Looking only at the Fard Salah, and you pray every day, obviously, so 365 days, so it is 30 minutes into multiplied by 365 days, multiplied by 50, which is 50 years. Supposing I have been praying for 50 years, from age 10 to age 60, and then divide that by 60, number of minutes, to get the number of hours, you get 9,125. So, we have been praying, if you have been praying for 50 years, you have been praying for 9,125 hours. Now, and that is if you are praying 5 minutes per salah. Supposing, and most of us, alhamdulillah, we pray also sunnah and so on. So, if you add up all that, then easily in 50 years of worship, we have crossed 10,000 hours. Without any problem. I mean, I don't think there's a big issue. And I'm not even talking about tahajjud and nawafil and all that. I'm just saying just the fard salah and the sunnah that goes with the fard. if we pray, then we have prayed for over 10,000 hours. So, technically, we should be experts in salah. Which means that the moment you say Allahu Akbar, khalas, you are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world does not exist anymore for you and me. And we are in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is before us. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. Worship Allah as if you can see Him. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if you cannot see Him, you know that He sees you. This is our, or should be our state, because we have achieved a level of expertise in Salah. I am not talking about you, but I ask myself, is this the case? Allah knows best. I won't say, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not describe your sins to others. May Allah forgive us. 50 years of worship, over 10,000 hours of worship. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward in keeping with His majesty and grace. But we are talking not about the reward, we are talking about the expertise in it. Imagine if we spend 10,000 hours and more doing something, and at the end of that, if you say, I am still, not only am I not an expert, I am not even a novice, then what does it say about that time? Is it time usefully spent? Is it wasted or what? Again, as I said, I am not talking about the reward Allah will give. Inshallah, that's a different issue. But is that the only reason why we are praying, to get some sawab? Or is this salah capable of more than this? So think about that. If somebody has a beautiful car, you know, it's absolutely top world class, you name whichever is your absolutely favorite car. Supposing you have that brand new, you know, sitting in your yard, sitting in your garage, and every day you go and sit in this car for half an hour. That's all. You're going and sitting in the car for half an hour. And you get out of the car. And then one day I see you walking on the street and thumbing a ride and getting into an auto rickshaw or other rickshaw or a bus or something. I said, what are you doing, boss? I mean, you've got this fabulous car sitting in your garage. And you said, no, I sat in the car today. I sat for half an hour in the car. Is that what a car is for? To sit in for half an hour? It doesn't take you anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. You are still, you know, measuring the street with your slippers. The car is in the garage. Doesn't do anything for you. Yeah, sure, you sat in the car for half an hour, you enjoyed yourself, no problem. You know, nice car, you sat there, you looked at the instrument panel, and you know, you beautiful leather bucket seats, you reclined the seat and so on and so forth, you felt nice, turn off the AC. Is that what a car is meant for? And if the car is not meant for that, then what is the point of having that car and not using it? Which brings me to the thoughtful practice part. 10,000 hours is one thing, but we are seeing here that just 10,000 hours by itself won't get us anywhere. It's 10,000 hours doing what? And Jeff Corbin says that he doesn't relate this to 10,000 hours. What he does say is, and he uses the example of golf. He said there is a difference between a person hitting 1,000 golf balls. So he's gone to the nets and he's going whack and whack and whack and whack, and he's sending, you know, 1,000 golf balls and half the earth with it. And there's another person who is hitting only 10 balls. But those 10 balls, every single ball, he is hitting it perfectly. Because he is spending that time and that attention and that concentration on hitting that ball. Now apply this example to anything else in life. I'm giving this because that's what he gives, and it's easy to understand. You know, you don't have to play golf to understand this. You know what is a ball, you know what's a club. So the point is, apply this to anything else. Thoughtful practice, not just practice. Not just Allahu Akbar, ruku, sujood, Allahu ruku, sujood, tam tam, two sajda, get up, salamu alaikum. No. Thoughtful practice. With consciousness, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am standing before Allah. Do I have this feeling somewhere? Am I standing before Allah? Is it in the head only, or do I also feel it in the body? Is it also in the heart? Right? Thoughtful practice. Inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, tomorrow we'll talk more about that. For today, I just want to leave these two thoughts with you and with myself to say, let us remember, 10,000 hours we have done already. That is those in our age group. So let us first take stock and say, these 10,000 hours, what has happened to that? And wallahu alam, I am talking about myself. I don't think I've got another 10,000 left to go. Right? So what am I blind? What am I supposed to do? Or do I want to die in the same state of having sat in my Bentley for half an hour a day? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes and hearts and enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and beneficial for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.